from Big Brutus to A Bridge to Nowhere, from Walt Disney's Marceline to a ferry boat ride across the Mississippi that also seemingly heads nowhere. I'm Bill Anderson. Today on Central Standard, we'll take a look at quirky travel destinations, off the beaten path, places that might pique your interest for a road trip or two this summer. We'll cover parts of Kansas and Missouri as we explore the tunnel where the Dalton Gang hid out. We'll cross the Locust Creek covered bridge, and we'll hike through the tallgrass prairie of the Flint Hills and go to Matfield Station. Join us as we wander east to Mark Twain's birth home in Florida. Florida, Missouri, of course. And did I mention the Hair Museum in Independence? Take a journey with us after this hour's news. Traveling around or across the states of Kansas and Missouri, do you ever tire of the same old of the interstate? Exits with no character, noisy, busy gas stations, fast food joints, inconsiderate motorists. Do you ever just say, to heck with it, and you exit the interstate for the scenic route to your destination? There are still inconsiderate motorists. Sorry, they're everywhere. But the secondary or back roads can lead to unexpected experiences and encounters with the peculiar or less popular sites and locations. Sometimes the great stuff is right in front of your noses, too, like here in Kansas City, and we're going to talk about it this hour. I'm Bill Anderson. This is Central Standard. Today, those off the beaten paths, sometimes offbeat destinations and tourist stops, places you probably need to put on your summer list. Joining KCUR in the studio, representing the curiosities of both states, Tony Alexander, Communications Manager of Visit KC. Hi.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
I have to ask you right away, give us one crazy or kind of off the beaten or even just crazy offbeat destination that you like.
One that I like that's right here in Kansas City and downtown is the Steamboat Arabia.
Hold that thought. Also joining us is Julie McPike. Julie is the program coordinator of Freedom's Frontier National Heritage Area. Good morning.
Good morning.
Same question.
I'm going to say the Great Overland Station in Topeka, in North Topeka.
Okay. Tell us more.
The Great Overland Station is a refurbished railroad station, restored to its original grandeur. And the thing that's really cool about it is it sits within North Topeka and sort of tells the story of transportation in Kansas, in Topeka. And one interesting thing that they have there in terms of exhibits is they have a Hall of Famous Kansans there. And they just inaugurated some new famous Kansans into this Hall of Famous Kansans, some real, like the first Kansas colored, some fictional, like Superman. So
really?
Yes, yes. It's a neat spot. It has a whole bunch of different kind of history related to the site in North Topeka and to the station as well.
Tony, back to you. Articulate more. Tell us more about the Steamboat Arabia Museum and why you threw that out on the table.
Well, I think the quirkiest thing there is that they have a jar of 132-year-old pickles that were found, and they still tasted fine. Uh-huh. I think, which was the surprising part of it. But
wait a minute. Still tasted fine?
Yes. They opened up the jar, and they sampled it, and they tasted just fine.
You're kidding me.
No. Would you like to go down and try some, Bill?
Well,
maybe.
Let me consider that for a while.
And then the other kind of quirky thing there is that the only casualty was a mule that was on the ship, and so it's the skeleton remains of the mule. So those are two of kind of the quirky things. But basically, it was a ship that was lost on the Missouri River in the 1800s. And so the Hawley family went on an expedition to find it. And so they recovered it in 1984. And so basically this ship was going to all the general stores to supply all the dishes and buttons. And so just imagine kind of like your Walmart. And so all the things that are in a Walmart were on this ship. And so it was all recovered. 200 tons of merchandise. So plates, boots, coats, beads, all these things you can see at the Steamboat Arabia. So it's pretty cool.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. Call with your pick. Quirky, weird, strange. It has to be in Kansas or Missouri. The number is 816-235-2888, 235-2888, or weigh in on our Facebook page, on KCUR's Facebook page. Again, that number is 235-2888. Julie, give us another one.
Another one that I would recommend is the Battle of Island Mound State Historic Site. It's a new state historic site. It's less than a year old, and it's outside of Butler, Missouri, so it's an easy drive from Kansas City. The really unique thing about this site is that it's the first place where African Americans were engaged in battle in the United States. So we all know that movie Glory and think of the 54th Massachusetts, but actually the first place where African Americans were engaged in battle is right here in Missouri at the Battle of Island Mound State Historic Site.
And you said that's near Butler, Missouri?
Yes.
Yeah, so take us from Kansas City to Butler.
From Kansas City to...
Or, you know, in an approximate direction anyway.
So you would head south on I-49, the new I-49. And when you would get to Butler, you would exit and head west. There's a lot of other sites along the way that you could stop off and see if you wanted to make a day of it. So Butler and Harrisonville are both in the burnt district,
right,
which was the area that was affected by Order Number 11 after Quantrill's raid. All of the citizens of Jackson, Cass, Bates County had to move away, and a lot of their homes and farms were burned. So there's two sites in Cass County that commemorate this history. One would be the Burnt District Monument in Harrisonville, and then also there's a mural painted in the 1830s by the WPA at the Pleasant Hill Post Office that commemorates that history.
I have to tell you, I was exploring your website yesterday, and being a solid Lawrence resident, I was taken by the tour of the Quantrill tour that's coming up in August.
Right, right.
Tell our audience a little bit about that.
Sure.
What's that going to be like?
So on August 17th and 18th, there's going to be a Quantrill tour that follows Quantrill's route. The 17th on Saturday will follow Quantrill's route in Missouri, so where they started, what route they took, a little bit of who helped them and how they got there and what their motives were. And then on Sunday, the tour motor coach tour bus will take you into Lawrence, stopping, of course, at places along the way that Quantrill and his men would have traveled over, take you into Lawrence, explore what happened during the raid, and then also take you out of Lawrence and a little bit of Quantrill and his men fleeing from Lawrence and the chase and all of that. So, and then it'll start and stop at that Burnt District Monument in Harrisonville. And so when we get back to the monument, we'll hear a little bit about Order Number 11, which was the retaliation for Quantrill's raid. So
this particular tour is grounded in historic accuracy. It's probably suited for a history buff.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any history buff, if you're interested in the area, if you're interested in the Civil War, you can't really call yourself a Civil War buff tourist unless you come here, too. To Kansas and Missouri. You know, if you've been to Gettysburg and all those places out east, that's great. But you can't really call yourself an aficionado unless you come out here and explore the sites.
Tony, give us another one.
The Glore Museum in St. Joseph, Missouri. That used to be called the State Lunatic Asylum Number 2. So it was for where mental illness patients were housed. But one of the quirky or odd things were the contents of a patient's stomach, which had things like safety pins, nails, and buttons inside. So these were all things that a patient had consumed. But when you go through the tour, you can also see the gas chamber where they kind of had them cornered off. And then it also was named as one of the most 50 most unusual museums in the country and one of the 1,000 places to see before you die in USA and Canada. So it's pretty quirky. It's kind of creepy. You can go through all of the rooms to see where they performed all types of procedures and treatments on, mental illness patients before they really understood mental illness.
Yeah. And that's actually called the Glore Museum?
The Glore, G-L-O-R-E.
Oh, Glore. I'm sorry.
It was named after the founder. His last name was Glore.
Okay. Julie.
Yeah, that was on my list too. But also, while you're in St. Joseph, there's lots of museums, of course, that you can stop to see. But there's a new site in St. Joseph, Fort Smith. It's the remnants of a Civil War era fort. And they just discovered it in 2005. So they knew it was there, but they weren't really exactly sure where. So it's open now for the public, and you can go up and see artillery and where it was placed and kind of get a feel of how the Missouri River was important and how they would have defended that.
235-2888 is how you reach the studio. And Greg is calling, or excuse me, Cindy is calling from Leawood. Good morning.
Good morning. Great show.
Thanks. Nice to have you here.
Well, thank you. We always love hearing about fun things to do that are close to home. And I thought of something that a lot of people may not know about, and that's the Somerset Wine Trail. And there are a lot of us who grow grapes and make wine here in what we call Kansas Wine Country now. And because it's so close and we now have four wineries on the trail, I thought that would be a good adventure, especially for the summer while all of the vineyards are in full bloom and working toward a good harvest in September.
So, Cindy, you seem to have some knowledge. Are you in the industry?
I am. We've got Somerset Ridge Vineyard and Winery, but, you know, there's four wineries now on the trail. We've got Nighthawk and White Wind and Middle Creek and our own Somerset Ridge. And, you know, you have a lot of folks who, you know, grow things and make value-added agricultural products that love to have visitors. So it's a fun little day trip, and you can stop by the Lewisburg Cider Mill, and that's always a great fun thing.
You're speaking my language. I love doing the wine tour thing, but I was always under the assumption that maybe fall would be the best time. You're saying summer's a great time to go.
Oh, yeah, summer's good because the wineries are open all the time. There's always, you know, great live music and good food. And it's nice, especially if you have an interest in wine, to be able to see the vines, you know, full of clusters of grapes before harvest, because it just helps you understand a little bit more about how nature works and to see the vines getting ready for the big show in September and October.
Well, thanks for phoning in, and I think that's a great recommendation. Julie, you're nodding your head.
Yes. A few years ago in the fall, I went with some friends for one of our birthdays to celebrate on that wine route in Miami County, I think, Kansas. It was a lot of fun.
And just be careful, folks. Of course, we would recommend a designated driver, obviously. 235-2888 is the phone number that reaches us at KCUR and KCUR.org. Murray is calling from Kansas City. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you about the Indian Native American Cultural Center, which is on the campus of Haskell University in Lawrence. It's a wonderful place. It tells the history of Haskell and the children who were brought there. When it was a boarding school, and basically the history of Native Americans in the United States and to this part of the country. Really very interesting and fascinating.
Excellent contribution. Thanks for the phone call. Greg,
Greg
emailed us, and he is quoted as saying, "We went to see Big Brutus down in West Mineral, Kansas. It's fairly close to Pittsburgh and Joplin. It's southeastern Kansas. Been there. It was a religious experience for me." But Greg is saying, "We were told we could no longer climb up into the machine." Really? Last time I was there, you could. You just couldn't climb up on the arm of the machine. Greg writes, another thing ruined by lawyers and insurance companies. Well, Greg, we'll probably come up with a couple other things that maybe we'll provide for some level of adventure for you over the course of the hour. 235-2888 is the phone number. And we really want this to be an interactive program because we know you've had a lot of these experiences. And there's so many people that, really seek out the quirky and the strange and the stuff that's really not commonly visited. And that's, for me, that's part of the appeal when I go to these what I call outstate areas and find these little gems that I didn't even see on a map or didn't know exist. You know what I'm saying, Julie?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, definitely. In addition to build on that Big Brutus recommendation, if you're going to be in that area, I would recommend going to Baxter Springs, checking out. The first stop I would make in Baxter Springs is to the Heritage Center and Museum because it just gives you a great sense of all the different layers of the history that are there in Baxter Springs, including the mining history. They've got great exhibits on the mining history. October would be a great time to go, October 4th and 6th through the 6th to Baxter Springs. They're going to be commemorating the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Baxter Springs. So there's Civil War history, mining history, Exoduster history, cattle trail history, Route 66 sites in Baxter Springs. So a great addition to that Big Brutus trip.
That's Julie McPike. She's with the Freedom Frontier National Heritage Area. Also in the studio, Tony Alexander, communications manager of Visit KC. Tony, I say Atchison, Kansas. You say...
It's called the most haunted city in the world.
Do tell more.
One of them is the Sally House, which, they haven't been able to keep a homeowner there. So right now I believe it is vacant. It was a doctor's house. And so there was a little girl named Sally who had a tummy ache who went next door to see the doctor. And she had appendicitis and she died there on the table. So that's the legend of what happened to her. But apparently she never left the home. So she still visits. You hear noises. They say items disappear. So lots and lots of paranormal activity that go on in this house that is named after her now, called the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas. So it's pretty creepy. They do have tours that you can go through at night. And they also have other haunted or paranormal places where you can go and get a full tour of that in Atchison, Kansas.
And isn't Atchison considered one of the most haunted communities in America?
Yes, they have that title, and they are very proud of it. Yes.
Did you hear about the cave, the sale of space in this cave that is – you haven't heard about this?
I have not.
Yeah, it's a guy from California who's purchased this giant cave. I think he bought it from the military. And he's going to market it as a place for people to live when the apocalypse happens, for lack of a better explanation. I don't know if that'll become a tourist destination or not. I'm told it's incredibly difficult to find, but maybe that's a possibility 5-10 years from now. Hmm. Atchison is a pretty incredible and interesting community, very historic also. Well, Reed's calling from Waldo, and Reed wants to talk about mushrooms. Hey, Reed.
Thank you for taking my call. And I was going to talk about a trip I made out past Salina to a place called Mushroom State Park. I just got in a car with a few buddies. We were actually doing an activity called geocaching, which I would highly suggest to anyone. You can find a lot of cool places. But Mushroom State Park, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And there are just a lot of rock formations that have been eroded over time to look like giant mushrooms. And it was a fantastic trip.
Wow. That's a good recommendation. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Hey, let's put Ken on the air. Ken, I like your question. Go ahead, sir. Ken, are you there? Hello, Ken.
Oh,
go ahead.
Am I there? Oh, I live on like 24 Highway in Gladstone, and I'm limited in transportation to the bicycle. And where I can get down to Steamboat Arabia and the Kansas City Museum, I was wondering if there was like other places, I don't know, within like 45 minutes to an hour from my location to that are interesting historical sites or quirky or something like that, that I could take others on a bicycle tour in this area.
Yeah, good question. Julie?
Well, if you're in Gladstone, then you need to put the Atkins Johnson Farm on your list of sites to go.
24 Highway and Gladstone Boulevard.
Yes. And the Atkins Johnson would just... Oh, Gladstone Boulevard. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I would do is look up the Battle of Westport driving tour and get that and see what sites that you could bike to on that. That's, I think, would be a fun and interesting bike tour for Kansas City. There is. If you can link to it from freedomsfrontier.org. I don't know the URL, but if you look up just on Google or your search engine, the Battle of Westport Visitor Center and Museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, I can get to Westport from here on bicycle. That's not a problem.
Well, I'd also like to add the Airline History Museum, which is in the Wheeler Airport right downtown. So if you don't mind biking to Steamboat Arabia, it's not very much further to go over to the Airline History Museum. And so it has the artifacts from TWA and the Wright Brothers' first flight and just all these cool artifacts from regarding airlines.
What about the isn't there an Indian mound or something up here in North Kansas City?
Sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't place it.
It's like an Indian man. I don't know if it's a museum. I've heard of it. There's a plaque on the 24 highway that says an Indian mound.
We'll try to find out. You've stumped all three of us on that one, Ken. Thanks for the phone call.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Hello, Dustin. You're on the air.
Hi, I went to Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, in Callaway County, right off of I-70, and there is, just a shout-out for my old school, there is a world-class Winston Churchill Museum there because it's the site, of course, where Winston Churchill gave the Iron Curtain speech. And they spent tons and tons of money, and underneath the chapel there is just a wonderful museum that chronicles the history of the chapel, but also Winston Churchill and World War II and the Cold War, and his role in that, and it's a wonderful museum. It's kind of off I-70, so you have to drive a couple miles in the other direction to get there, so people might not know about it as much, but it's a great museum.
And the chapel was moved to Westminster from England, I think, if I'm thinking
that,
right. It was Christopher Wren.
It's a Christopher Wren design, and it was... First, it was destroyed in the fire in London in the 1600s, and then it was rebuilt, and then it was bombed during the war, and then they were going to tear it down, and the college made an effort to bring it back and reconstruct it piece by piece at the Westminster campus.
Yeah, so a great site for architecture buffs as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Dustin, have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And speaking of places close by, let's go across the river to Kansas City, Kansas, and talk to Man.
Hi, my name is Nan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have the Huron Cemetery right by the downtown library.
Mm-hmm.
Has some very interesting graves, Union soldiers and Indians, and the first woman to argue in front of the Supreme Court. She has a very interesting marker. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're near Strawberry Hill then.
Yeah.
Lots of things in Strawberry Hill, including homemade sausage, and they have a museum.
That's right.
And then there's the Quindaro Ruins, which have a very interesting history, and a statue of John Brown. And Lewis and Clark Park, and that's all within bicycling distance.
Well, thanks, Nan.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Julie.
Oh, I was just going to add, I'm actually headed to Quindaro later this afternoon to meet with some folks there who are looking at the ruins and putting some interpretation and that kind of thing, I think, in there. So,
Tony, you were nodding your head the whole time that Nan was speaking.
I've been to the cemetery, and it sits kind of up on a hill, and it's right downtown. And I was looking for it and had trouble trying to find it. So it's kind of indescript. But then when you get up on it, it is very interesting to just walk and see the markers on the grave and some that weren't marked and, you know, how old the graves were. So that's very interesting. And then also the Quindaro Ruins, and that is also part of the Underground Railroad. So there's a lot of history in that area as well.
I've got a fascination with old cemeteries, especially the ones in rural Missouri and Kansas. There's just something about them. You see those headstones with dates, you know, in the 1800s, and you just you have to pause and think about what kind of a life did they have back then. And in some cases, these cemeteries have been virtually abandoned, which I guess is unfortunate, but still it adds to kind of the mystique or the mystery of the location. Are there any kind of like special, and I know I'm trying to be respectful here, but are there any cemetery tours that are available to people in the Kansas City region?
I don't know of any cemetery tours, but I do know of some celebrities that are buried in around the Kansas City. One is Satchel Paige, which I can't recall the name of the cemetery, but it's right there off of Gregory and True's, kind of right across the street from the YMCA. And so he has, they actually call it Satchel Island because it's kind of a whole little memorial. And it's funny because one of them, it has a question mark of when he was born because he changed, he never really told people his age because he wanted to be able to continue to play.
Right.
So so that one is very interesting. And then also Charlie Bird Parker, Yardbird Parker. He is buried at a cemetery in Independence, and so his headstone is there. And so there's a couple of interesting, you know, people, you know, like you who like cemeteries and who want to kind of see the celebrity graves. Those would be a couple of places I recommend.
This is Central Standard on 89.3 FM, KCUR and KCUR.org. I'm Bill Anderson with Julie McPike, and Tony Alexander is with us also. We're talking about the offbeat, the weird, the cool, the historic, and we want you to participate in this conversation. Call us at 235-2888, 235-2888. When we come back, we'll talk about a hair museum. We'll talk about Matfield Station, probably the Garden of Eden, and even Walt Disney, and we'll take your phone calls. It's Central Standard on KCUR. Glad you're joining us on Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson. We're talking about places to visit in Kansas and Missouri. The Arch is awesome, and as I tell my friends in St. Louis, it will be even cooler once we move it to its rightful home in Kansas City. Everyone needs to see the Arch up close. There's no doubt about it. It's incredible, and I would encourage everyone to make sure they take a ride to the very top of that thing because it's like nothing you will experience in your lifetime. But this morning, we're looking for lesser-known attractions, places that you go to, places that somehow touch you, and maybe they amuse you. The Lucas Creek Covered Bridge is an example of a place I love to go to. It's one of, I think, four covered bridges in the state of Missouri, four or five. And every time I go there, I'm the only person there. And it's kind of tucked away on this gravel road, and you have to kind of walk back to the bridge. And there's really, the creek has been diverted. There's not much of a creek underneath it. But it's just this really peaceful place. It's a good spot to just kind of meditate and watch the animal life and so forth. And sometimes get eaten live by mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Have either of you done the tour of any of the covered bridges?
I have not. I've heard about it. And it is something that is on my bucket list, but I have not made it there yet.
Yeah, you have to do it. Julie?
I went when I was very young. I had parents that drugged me to historic sites all over the place. And so around Paris, Missouri, maybe, I think there's a covered bridge that we went to a long, long, long time ago. I need to go back and refresh my memories.
That's Julie McPike. You're the program coordinator of Freedom Frontiers National Heritage Area, and also in the studio is Tony Alexander of Visit KC. And we want to hear from you. And in fact, waiting patiently on the phone has been Zach calling from St. Joseph. Hi, Zach.
Hey, how's it going? You guys were talking on Atchison a little bit. I wanted to see if I could bring it back there real quick.
Of course.
Not only is it, one of the haunted places, and to preface all of this, I'm fairly new to St. Joe, so this was on my own adventure, but Amelia Earhart is up from up there. Her birthplace, home's there. Very interesting. And the people that work there are great, and they will share experiences and talk about it, the conspiracies, et cetera. It's just a great place, and yeah, just wanted to share Amelia Earhart's birthplace in Atchison. Great museum.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
No problem.
And also joining us is Leo. Leo's camping somewhere?
Yeah, Leo, I'm camping up at Lake Perry, and by the way, the weather's moving in, so we know what it's like up here, but I wanted to put my plug in for Lucas, Kansas.
Yes.
Have we talked about that yet this morning?
No. Go ahead.
Love that place. Kansas, that's a very strange place. It was it was built single-handedly by a gentleman named Dinsmore, and he was in his 80s, I believe, when he started the project. He was a primitive artist. He had no formal training, and all of the sculptures he did were of concrete. And he built his house of concrete. He built his outbuildings of concrete. He built several statues denoting instances of history of concrete. He was very political. And then when he died, he had himself interred. When the last time I was up there, you could still walk into the mausoleum and look down through the window, and you can still see his somewhat moldy body. And he said, just slip a dollar into my hand, and I'll give you a wink.
Yeah. Last time I was there, he was still on display also. I think they were preparing to close his mausoleum so that they could do some work, either on him or the building. Yeah. But that's just...
It's a fascinating place. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's a moment in history, and the ambitions of an elderly gentleman who had something to say, and he did it by improving, I don't know, a half an acre or an acre or so of property right there in Lucas, Kansas.
Yeah. Hey, Leo, when you were there, did you go to the Grass Arts Museum?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
That's quite impressive also.
It very is. There are several locations. I mean, I don't want to, bogart the time here on my little space sharing program, but there are many places around that area. The only other plug I put in was the Haunted Cemetery at Stahl, Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Considered by many to be the gateway to hell, and they have taken down the signs for the city and put chain-link fences up around the concrete, the cemetery to keep people out. But... that may be mostly hype.
Yeah, that's mostly a drive-by these days, just for the fact that it is enclosed behind a fence now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Except on Halloween, people are likely to go jumping over the fences, which is not cool.
Yeah. I would recommend, before we let you go, also in Lucas is the there's like a miniature toy museum.
And, yes, there is.
Yeah, and then there – I don't think this exists anymore, but I believe it was an artist from Atchison – of all places, that had a Barbie doll display in one of the houses. Every single inch inside the interior of this house was covered with a Barbie doll in some form. I don't want to disclose too much. Yeah.
But I drive through there constantly on my way to the west side of Clinton Lake, which is one of my favorite places to camp. I'll make an effort to find that next time I go through.
So you're camping at Perry Lake. You said... some bad weather's moving in?
Yeah, some bad weather's moving in. I just looked at my radar, and they had issued a severe weather forecast now, and I'm just about to take my awning down because it's starting to flap too much in the wind. So
we're going to let you go.
I want to secure my campsite.
Yeah, be safe. Be safe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Julie, you've kind of made a career of, pre-Civil War and Civil War activities and border war activities. Give us another location that you would recommend that we might otherwise overlook.
Sure. I would recommend, I have a loop kind of laid out that would take you from Kansas City out to the 1840s courthouse in Warrensburg, Missouri. It's an interesting courthouse just architecturally because it's a federal-style pioneer courthouse. You don't see that a lot. And inside, there are exhibits about how divided Warrensburg was during the war. So divided, in fact, that northern and southern troops would drill on the same parade ground, but they would alternate days. So just interesting little stories there. When you're on your way out to Warrensburg, of course, you could definitely stop at the Lone Jack Museum and Cemetery for the Battle of Lone Jack. It's one of the few sites where soldiers are still buried on the battlefield where they fell. In a lot of battlefields, they were moved to separate cemeteries, but they're still in the trenches at Lone Jack. And then also Fort Osage National Historic Landmark. It's a great, great recreated early 1800s fort, and they have two special exhibits coming up this summer about the Civil War in Missouri. One is produced by the Missouri State Archives, and the other looks at the lives of the people that lived in Sibley during the Civil War.
So. And we had a question via email about the Civil War Museum in Fort Scott. Mm. Pretty special place?
It is a very special place. The Fort Scott National Historic Site is also a recreated fort, but later time period than Fort Osage. It covers not only Civil War, but it was first constructed as to protect the permanent Indian Territory border between Missouri and what became Kansas. And also it also is a Network to Freedom Underground Railroad site, just became a Network to Freedom site. So a lot of different stories there. And one thing I need to say about Fort Scott is they put on really great special programs there. They have some special programs coming up around the 4th of July, Independence Day, that look at the 4th of July from a slavery perspective, from a military perspective. So a lot of great programs down there.
Tony, tell us about the Hair Museum in Independence, Missouri.
Layla's Hair Museum,
yeah,
off of Nolan Road in Independence. It is the only hair museum in the United States, and it has more than 600 hair wreaths, and some of the hair dates back before 1900. And then also it has two reliquaries. One is of Mary, the mother of Jesus's hair, and then also the other one has a piece of wood from the cross. So there's also 200 pieces of jewelry and watch chains that are made from human hair. It's also said to have locks of hair from Abraham Lincoln and Marilyn Monroe. So very unusual place to go if you're looking for something kind of quirky.
She was she was here once doing an interview with the BBC, and she brought some samples of her hair, her art, and it was incredible.
It is incredible when you see it that it's all hair.
Yeah, it's so well done.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's on my bucket list, actually. Especially after meeting her. She was so engaging and just so enthusiastic about her museum.
Yes, she is. When you meet her, she definitely is memorable.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Bill and Julia McBride renovated an old section house. It's just feet away from the rail lines that run through the tall grass prairie of the Flint Hills. They set it up as a three-room lodge. KCUR intern Sangeeta Shastri was at Matfield Station recently, and she was struck by the expanse of beautiful landscape and the roar of the trains as they rumbled by, sometimes sounding like they were going to crash through the small building. While she visited, she chatted with owner Bill McBride.
I was an architect and interested in leaving architecture and being a sculptor in the Flint Hills. We had seen the building, and it's mentioned in Prairie Earth, so it's got some romance to it, and it's one of the only ones, these section houses remaining. And so we bought it for, by Chicago terms, very low money, it seemed, and started renovating. And then in a few years, we moved and started living there and then built a house. And so over the years, we've slowly brought it up in quality, and now we rent it to visitors.
Matfield Station is just outside Matfield Green, a town of 62 people in the heart of the rolling Flint Hills. Tony, have you had some Flint Hills experiences?
You know, it's on my bucket list as well.
Yeah.
I've not had a lot, but I've heard, the rolling hills, it's just beautiful. Anyone that goes through there always has great stories to tell me about just how breathtaking it is out that way.
It really is. How about you, Julie?
Actually, this April, I just went with my family. Our ultimate destination was the Grand Canyon, but we had to stop at the Flint Hills at the National Park Service site out there and drove through Matfield Green. It's so beautiful, and the site is so well interpreted. So.
Yeah. 235-2888 is how you reach Central Standard. We're talking about places off the beaten path. Some of these places are kind of quirky and maybe even a little bit bizarre. Others are just really incredibly historic, and we want to hear from you at 235-2888. Kathy is calling from Lee Summit. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Well, of course, you're having a fabulous show with the wonderful Julie McPike. I am the president of the Lee Summit Historical Society, and We operate a small museum in downtown Lee's Summit that's in the Historic Depot. And the Freedom's Frontier National Heritage Area has been an invaluable resource for us and many other small museums who interpret their local history. And Julie, in particular, has been wonderful about meeting with us and brainstorming ideas for us and helping us to develop exhibits and so forth. And then back in April, the voters approved us moving to a larger building, and we'll be doing more History of Lee's Summit, and we're looking forward to our continued partnership with Freedom's Frontier. But I just wanted to mention what an invaluable resource they are and what a great brochure they've produced that has all of these historic sites all up and down the Missouri-Kansas border. The purpose, of course, is to interpret both sides of the story, Bleeding Kansas and what happened in Missouri, so that there's a equal opportunity for everybody to talk about their stories. And so I just wanted to thank Julie and let everyone know that they do an excellent job of helping those of us who are involved in small museums.
Thanks, Kathy. She's blushing, by the way.
I didn't even pay her to call in.
I have to ask you, is there any way of measuring the economic boost that the states get from this kind of, I guess we call it a form of tourism, right?
It is a form of tourism, and actually, Kansas City gets about 22 million visitors a year. So, it's hard to really measure their impact because they may or may not stay in a hotel, but we know that they spend about $120 a day. So, between meals and attractions and things like that, and just anecdotal stories that we hear from our members. So we know that tourism is alive in the Kansas City metro area.
Hey, Julie, do you have anything to add?
Well, it's especially important in some of these offbeat areas that we're talking about, more rural areas, for folks to get out and support those economies. So a little bit of tourism has a big impact, I think, in those rural areas.
Mm-hmm. 235-2888, that was Julie McPike of Freedom's Frontier National Heritage Area. Tony Alexander of Visit KC is also in the studio. What about you? We want to hear from you. 235-2888. And joining us from Joplin is Mary Ann.
Hello.
Hi.
I actually am an employee with the City of Joplin, and I get the privilege of coming to Joplin City Hall 5 days a week, sometimes more, and I get to see the Thomas Hart Benton mural.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, we commissioned his grandson to do a mural. So we also have, I'm going to spell it as G-U-D-E, the Gude mural. And it's exciting. People can come every day to Joplin City Hall. It's free. And we have artifacts from Thomas Hart Benton that deals with the creation of the mural.
Wonderful. Was City Hall spared the tornado?
We were very lucky. Our City Hall was spared the tornado and our Public Works Center. And I think that's one of the many reasons we were able to recover so fast.
Yeah. Well, we still think of you people in Joplin, and you're always in our hearts and minds.
Well, thank you. I listen to your station through my computer down here in Joplin, and so I do. I hear all the stories that are still going on about our town, but we're recovering. We're doing great.
Good, good. Well, thanks for the call this morning.
Okay, thank you.
How about Walt Disney? Walt Disney in Kansas City, maybe in Marceline. There's a pretty cool museum up there in Marceline, and also his boyhood home is there.
Absolutely. But,
yeah.
We also, his first studio was here, Laugher Graham Studios, mm-hmm. that they're trying to save right now, right off of 39th and Troost area. And so that, that has a tie to Kansas City, even though he grew up in Marceline. But, we say that this is where Mickey Mouse was created, was here at his Laugher Graham Studios.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how far along is that project? Is it just a matter of money at this point in time?
It is a matter of money.
Yeah.
I think the last I read, they had raised a couple $1 million, but they still need, I think, at least $2 million or more. But they are working diligently to try to make that a reality.
Well, the boyhood home site is pretty interesting because you can sit under the tree, whereas a young lad, he was inspired. Mm-hmm. And got a lot of his ideas for what turned into an incredible empire. I want to mention another thing, and this is the Mark Twain birth home in Florida, Missouri. Everyone associates him with Hannibal, but he was actually born in Florida. And the house actually sits inside the museum that's there in the Mark Twain State Park. Julie?
I think that was another place I went to as a wee child with my parents. I remember it through some photographs in our family album, but I haven't been there in years and years.
It's pretty impressive, and the lake is actually absolutely gorgeous. Tony, have you had the opportunity to visit that site?
No, this is – I feel like I need to get out more in Missouri.
You do?
That is another one that I have not been to, but, you know, I was aware that of the Hannibal, but, yeah, the Florida, Missouri, I was not aware of.
Before we go back to the phone calls, if you do make that trip, go – beyond the Mark Twain State Park into Hannibal, do all the Hannibal stuff, but then go north along the river and you'll end up in Canton, Missouri, and you can take a small ferry boat. It's a utilitarian ferry boat across the Mississippi River into like what I call nowhere Illinois, because it drops you off basically in the heart of Illinois farm country. And that's a pretty pleasant experience.
And then what did you do after you got dropped off?
Well, I was ultimately headed towards Chicago, so I took the roundabout way. I added about 4 or 5 hours to my trip, but it was worth every second of it because of that Mississippi River experience.
Very cool.
Let's go back to the phones, and I believe we've got Jim calling. And Jim, excuse me here. Jim is in Kansas City. It's Dan, excuse me. Dan, you're on the air. Well, I suppose we've lost him. Let's talk to Vivian. Vivian's calling from Leavenworth. Hello? Okay. Well, visit KC. That's kind of your home base, Tony. Tell us a little bit more. Give us another kind of odd or unusual destination here in the metropolitan region.
Well, one is the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, which you wouldn't think that would have anything where the public could go through, but they actually have a money museum that is free and that is open Monday through Friday, and you can go through there and see actually it's the largest cash vault, so you can actually see money moving. You can see what, you know, $20 million looks like or $1 million. You can feel the weight of a gold bar. You can see which presidents put out the new pennies or the new coins, and then when you leave, they will give you a bag of shredded money. So it's very cool way to help kids kind of get acclimated to money and how it's made and how it is transported. But then it's also historical and provides education for, you know, just anyone. So it's a cool place. I don't think a lot of people know about it. And so it's just something that, again, is free and educational and just something fun to do in the city.
Do you think that's something that's good for children and adults alike then?
Absolutely. My kids and I love it.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. And Liz is joining us from Independence. Liz, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
You were talking earlier about the Flint Hills.
Yes.
There is a new place in Manhattan, Kansas, called the Flint Hills Discovery Center that just opened last year.
Hmm.
And it's interesting. They have one of those 4D movies where you can go in and watch how the Flint Hills were created and what's involved with how it happens. You get to smell the fires. You get to feel the prairie wind and smell the flowers. And there's several stories looking at the Flint Hills and how they've developed the research that's going on there as far as wind power and some of those things, and an area for toddlers to go and play. And it's really a fun place to visit right as you enter into Manhattan, Kansas, right after you cross the river.
That's nice to know. And that's brand new?
It just opened last year.
Yeah.
I was there in June for the first time, and it's really a fun place to go.
Well, thanks for the recommendation.
And while you're in Manhattan to go to the Flint Hills Discovery Center, you need to go check out Isaac Goodnow's mouse. And that is in the Goodnow House State Historic Site. Goodnow was a free stater who founded Manhattan, was the founder of K-State, and he was interested in natural science. So as a result, he has this great collection, specimen collection, and the mouse they still have on display in his house. So when you're in Manhattan, check that out.
There's another road trip, Liz.
Yep.
Hey, Liz, before I let you go, did I lose Liz?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you, have you visited Rock City in Minneapolis? Rock City Park?
No, I've not.
That's an impressive. Next time you head out that way, it's worth getting off the interstate and visiting that. It's what Kansas may have looked like a million years ago when it was covered by water.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And now joining us is Mark. Mark's calling from Kansas City.
Hello.
Hello.
I was calling to tell everyone about Merrimack Spring Park, just outside of St. James, Missouri.
Hmm. Tell us more.
It is administered by State of Missouri Parks, but it's actually owned by the St. James Foundation. So if you're on the State of Missouri Parks website, you won't find it listed as a state park, but you can find it on the web. And it's an absolutely gorgeous state park with tremendous history, a very good historical interpretive center, because it's the site of an old iron ore mine that goes back into the 1800s. And they've got ruins of the blast furnaces and stuff and a reproduction of the little town that was built there. It's, as I said, owned by the St. James Foundation, which is the family, was set up by the family that owned the iron ore mine and everything down through time. So it's a beautiful, and it's absolutely a beautiful park. It has a trout fishery in it, so they fill the streams with trout, and it's very well known as a fishing destination, but it's a beautiful place to hike. And the park setting is just stunningly gorgeous.
Thanks for the phone call, Mark. I think we have, if we're real quick, like we can get Chad on. Chad, can you make it quick?
I can, actually. I'm going to tell you real quick. Terry Nation, buried here in Belton, Missouri. She was the pre-prohibition figure who used to go into the bars and the taverns and smash everything up with her hatchet. And her burial coach is in its own little carriage house down on Main Street, and it's run by the Historical Society. And so they have kind of odd hours since it's staffed by volunteers. But if you ever catch it open, go in there. It's gorgeous leather and wood and wrought iron, and it's something to see.
Thanks, Chad. That's a good one to end on. And any other thoughts before we say goodbye to our audience?
Sure. I just encourage everybody, if you're interested in that history, to get on freedomsfrontier.org and check out The Big Divide by Diane Eickhoff and Aaron Barnhart. It tells a lot of our stories and has the sites where you can go learn about those stories.
Great. And it was really nice to have you here, Julie.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here.
Julie McPike, Program Coordinator for the Freedom Frontiers National Heritage Area. Our other guest was Toni Alexander. She's the Communications Manager for Visit KC. Thank you both for being on the program today. If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, access any of our previous shows, or see a list of Kansas City's best offbeat vacation spots, check out the Central Standard page of kcur.org. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz and Sangeeta Shah. Our announcer is Kim Noble. Up to date is next. For Central Standard, I'm Bill Anderson.